Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built, and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Hey guys, and welcome back to the show. You have got episode 40 here, and I'm talking to my friend Christy Elkins. Episode 40. Can't believe we're there. Wow. So I had an announcement before we get started. It's really cool. There's a radio station called Joy 1250, and there's a broadcasting network called Faith Strong Today, and they are out of the greater Toronto area. They heard the show, and they loved my super smart guest that I had, and asked if they could syndicate the show, and I said yes, even though I'm not really sure what syndication means, but it sounded like something I'd heard on Frasier. You know that show? I used to love Frasier. Anyway, so starting this week, the show was on the radio in Canada. I'm super excited and humbled about this opportunity. I'm really excited for more moms to get connected to my guests and for the Mom Struggling Well community to grow more in Canada. So fantastic. So my guest this week, her name is Christy Elkins, like I said. She is a mom of three. She is a wife of a law enforcement officer. She is a newspaper columnist for her local newspaper, and she is a new farmer. Very interesting life. In this chat, she admits to not knowing how old her kids are exactly. She talks about how she yells at her mailman, and I have a very different relationship with my mailman, so that's kind of funny. We cover what to do when he's not like my boyfriend or anything, just so you know. It's platonic. Anyway, we cover what to do when where you live isn't really your favorite place on earth, what she learned about her role in the tone of her home, and what she does on Friday nights to ensure that she and her husband gets to sleep in on Saturday morning. It's gold, you guys. I promise you're going to love it. So listen, I want a chance to interact with you guys more, and I talk to a lot of you on the regular over on Instagram at Mom Struggling Well, but you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook. But also, if you want to shoot me an email, go ahead and do that. If you have a question for me, if you have a question for my guests, like a follow-up question, go ahead and send an email to hello@momstrugglingwell.com. I would really love to be able to interact with you more. I'm considering doing some more periscoping. If that's something that you're interested in, just send me an email and say, yes, I love Periscope or whatever, because I really would like to interact with you more. I'd love to hear what you're doing to struggle well. What's your strategy? I would love to hear any additional questions you have for the guests that I didn't ask. I know their phone numbers and I am not afraid to use them. I can ask those questions and get back to you. Use me as a resource, ask me your questions, and I will do my very best to find answers. Also, the thing I think would be cool about Periscope would be you could interact with each other, build the community that way. So anyhow, I'm kind of toying around with it, but I feel super weird just videotaping myself like it's the Emily Show, and it's super not. So anyway, I'm kind of on the fence. So if you are interested in that, shoot me an email. If you have a question, shoot me an email. hello@momstrugglingwell.com. All right, let's go ahead and get started with my chat with Christy. Hey, Christy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so good. So I don't know anything about, I know what I've seen about you from the World Wide Web, but will you please introduce yourself?
My name is Christy Elkins. I am a mother of three little kids. Well, they're kind of not little anymore. They're 8, 6, and how old are my kids? 8?
Oh, that last one. It's hard to remember that last
one. Let's see, 8, 6, and 4. He's almost 5, so blanked on that. I am the wife of a law enforcement officer.
Okay.
We live in East Tennessee. Okay. On a farm, and we live in the same town that we both grew up in.
Oh, so when did you first meet your husband? Like, how old were you?
We were in high school. We met actually the very first day, freshman year of high school. We had the first 3 out of 4 classes together. So we were like friends for a while, but we didn't start dating until senior year.
Okay, so as I was reading your about page on your blog, it's hysterical. And I... Immediately, it was like, yeah, this girl, I like her a lot. So let me just tell you some things about yourself that you probably already know since you wrote it. You carry a gun in your Prada handbag.
Yeah, well, knockoff Prada handbag, real handgun, yeah.
Okay, good. You cut your hair with your kitchen scissors that you cut your deli meat with as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a habitual self-bangs cutter, if that's a thing, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have straight hair though, right?
Yeah, it's straight.
I would so have bangs if I had straight hair. But I have curly hair, and so bangs and curly hair are usually a really bad idea. And you yell at your mailman. I need to know more about this.
We live on a dead end, so he just kind of uses us as a turnaround sometimes. But I really just wanted to know, like, do you have mail for me? And so finally one day he was like, I'm not allowed to hand you your mail. You have to go to your box and get it. And I thought, thanks.
What?
I was like, thanks for calling out my laziness. Like, I just want you to hand me my mail. But no, he doesn't.
He wouldn't hand it to you.
No.
Is that a law?
I don't know. He was just very adamant about it. He was not allowed to do that.
Oh my goodness. My mailman, he like will come over and just knock on the door. And my husband and I both work from home. And so he'll just be like, hey, can I have some water? And sometimes he's here for like 30 minutes. And the kids are like, why is the mailman in our house? Because he's our friend now.
Exactly.
So, very different mailman strategies.
Yeah, yeah. He has different goals. So
yeah. When I was in nursing school, that's what they would make us say when people would just non-compliant and they wouldn't do anything you wanted. We would just have to, because you have to be so diplomatic in a nurse, you know, in a medical chart. So we would say, patient has other goals. And, yeah. Not patient is a big fat jerk.
Right.
Anyway, okay, so a lot of the things that I was reading about you, it made me feel like a very nervous person because all my questions, my follow-up questions were, does that make you scared? Does that make you scared? So my first, does that make you scared, is your husband is a police officer.
Yes.
Does that make you scared?
It doesn't, I think, because he has been in law enforcement pretty much the duration of our marriage. So okay. In some capacity, I mean, he's worked in all areas of law enforcement. So we're just very, very used to that lifestyle.
Okay. So when the news comes on and it just seems like things are really tense with police officers now, more than I remember in the past.
Yes.
Do you feel that?
I definitely do. And I think that we are very blessed to live in an area where police officers are still fairly well respected.
Okay.
And I know that's not the case a lot of other places. So I think because of that, my guard's a little less intense because I know that the police officers we have here, in my opinion, are just top notch. And we have a community that supports them, is behind them. So that's helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that would make a big difference, I think. Now, you're a farmer. Were you always a farmer?
We are kind of novice farmers. No, we don't have any sort of farm blood in our body. It was kind of one of those situations where, you know, we lived in a residential area and we were having, actually kind of going back to the law enforcement thing, we had some issues with people just showing up at our house that should not have been there.
Oh, because he maybe arrested them?
Yes. And he, at the time, was a detective for our local sheriff's department. Yeah. And so people would just come to our house because it was fairly easy to find.
Okay, excuse me. What does that look like? You're having dinner. Ding dong.
Yeah, pretty much.
What does that look like? And then you say, oh, I remember you. You were that DWI. Or
exactly.
Or, were they angry? Like, why are they coming over, I guess, is my question.
It would depend. Sometimes people would come over. When they were younger, I was home with them all the time. And they would just basically bang on the door and be like, I need a detective. And I just didn't answer because this is not the sheriff's department. And then,
oops.
You know, people would come by and be like, you know, you still haven't found my stolen whatever it was. That kind of thing.
Like following up.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Oh, my goodness.
So, okay. Like, in light of that, we were just like, we really need more privacy. We need to have a place where our kids can play and we can feel comfortable with not random strangers showing up. So long story short, we started the process of looking for land and we just found the perfect place for us. And it's just beautiful here. We can see the Smoky Mountains pretty much from our porch and it's just a gorgeous place to live. And it's a place we really do just love calling home.
How long have you been there?
3 years.
Okay. You are about to, or maybe you've already done one season of the farmer's market?
Yeah, we have a local farmer's market here. And I think it was the second summer we lived here, we made bank, but mostly because my kids were so cute.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. They really helped me sell stuff when I had an Etsy shop.
Yes, because you can buy your tomatoes from just anybody. But, when you've got your little six-year-old daughter selling her famous Garden of Eden lemonade, because her name's Eden.
Perfect.
People just loved
it. Strategic child naming, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Cute kid tomatoes taste better than regular old tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they definitely up the market value on produce.
Okay, so you have done it for 1 year, or how many years then?
We did it for one summer. Last summer we did not, because our garden just kind of tanked and we had to basically stake our goats out just to eat it. It was such a disaster. I don't know if it was a climate situation in Tennessee with too much, not enough rain. I don't know, but it was really bad.
So excuse me, but I was raised in the city. When you stake your goats out, what does that mean exactly?
Well, like put them out in the garden themselves to where they can just kind of feast on it.
Oh, let them eat the garden.
Yeah, just kind of put them out there, let them destroy it for me.
Because goats will eat anything, right? Like they like to eat things out of my purse when I'm at the zoo. That's everything I know about goats.
Yeah, I've never seen them eat like tin cans, or people say they eat like garbage, but we've never fed our goats that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
but yeah, they'll pretty much do whatever.
So how's your garden this year? Are we in gardening season? What's happening?
Well, anything. We haven't planted it yet. We've had some weird weather here, that's kind of how Tennessee is, especially east. Like you can be 73 sunny flip-flop weather one day and literally like 32 degrees freezing the next morning. Mm. So we're still in that transitional period where we'd have to keep it from freezing. So we haven't tilled it yet.
Okay. Tilling. I've heard of that. Yes. Okay. Is the farmer's market when the crop works? Is it a pretty large part of your income, or?
No, I mean,
it's for fun.
It's just for fun. And it's fun, I feel like, to kind of get out there on Saturday mornings and talk to people in town. And it really, it's more of a teaching piece for our kids, just by saying, if we grew this, we took care of it. It was a lot of hard work. And, you can earn money from your hard work kind of thing.
Now, how does that work? Do they get a percentage, or is it how much they sell? Like how good they're smiling at the people?
It just depends. There's weeks where we had quite a few customers and there were weeks where it was a little slower. But typically what we would do is tell them you can save half and spend half. So, if Eden made $20 on her lemonade, which was, she would sell it for 50 cents a cup, and then people would say, here's $2, keep the change because you're so cute. I'm like, wow. what do I need to do to sell all these, cucumbers? But, just kind of teach them to like save and then realize that they can be rewarded for working hard.
Okay. You mentioned Saturdays, and I know that a big deal for you is your Donut Saturdays. Tell me about that tradition.
Okay. So Donut Saturday, I would say initially started out as completely self-serving. So I'll just go ahead and put that out on the table right now.
Hey, might as well be honest.
Yeah. Let's get that out there. But we started doing that last year, I think February. My husband gets called out a lot and we don't get a lot of consistent rest throughout the week, obviously. I mean, I don't think any parent really gets just good, solid sleep.
Okay. So what you mean though is like at any point he can be called and has to leave.
Oh yeah. All the time. You never really know when he's going to get a call out. So if there's a really great week where he had fewer situations to deal with, so Friday night comes, we want to sleep in, obviously. Who doesn't want that? So we created Donut Saturday where we would put their favorite donuts on the kitchen table. We would write little notes to them like scripture or some sort of knock-knock joke or just whatever for them to kind of read, and then put out juice cups in the fridge where they could reach them. Of course, they're all old enough now to get up and do those things, but they love it because it kind of helps with the every time you're at the grocery store, can we buy donuts conversation? Well, no, because it's not Saturday. So that kind of cuts that out.
Okay.
But, they're feeding themselves. They're having a good time. They're looking forward to it. And then we get like a little extra amount of sleep while they're chilling out, eating their donut.
That is such a good idea. I love that.
It is the biggest deal ever for them. I mean, it's...
Yes.
There have been times before where we've been here and it's been like 8 o'clock at night. And one of us is like, oh no, we forgot to buy donuts and someone's making a trip. So
that's wonderful. So it's like a... every Saturday thing, it's just happening no matter what?
No matter what. No matter what. We've even done it where, if we've had to travel or, we make sure that wherever we're going, there's a Krispy Kreme or a Dunkin' or whatever. It's a big deal to them and it sounds small, but I really do feel like that's something they'll do with their own kids someday. So
I think so, for sure. I think that's wonderful. What's your favorite kind of donut? Mine is Krispy Kreme, hands down.
We live in a very small town, so we don't have either a Krispy Kreme or Dunkin'. We live fairly close to Knoxville, so they have those, and so we definitely enjoy them when we're over there. But we have a little donut store called Ralph's Donut.
Okay.
And they are the best.
Oh.
The thing about Ralph's is they're so popular that they run out really, really quickly. So they're available until they're sold out, and then that's it. So
okay,
if you can get your hands on a box of Ralph's Donuts, then you have gold.
You've really done something. Wow. Okay. So how do you work that? How do you get those on Friday night?
Well, that's the thing. If we do Ralph's, then I typically have to get them in the morning on Friday. They're kind of eating like day-old donuts.
They don't even know or care.
They don't know because they're Ralph's and it's just too good.
Oh my goodness. So it's not a chain. It's just where you live.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just where we live.
I love that when it runs out, it's over.
Yeah. That's it. They put up a sign. They're like, sorry, sold out.
Oh my goodness. That's wonderful. I love that. Okay. So I saw on your website that you have weddings at your house or on your land.
Yeah. We've had a couple of them. We haven't had any this year, but yeah, we've had, I think two or three. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, they've turned out great.
Is that stressful?
No, not for me.
Okay.
Because both of the brides that I've dealt with were people that we knew. They were great people. They took care of everything. All we really had to do was say yes.
Okay. So they did it. You're not like a wedding planner or putting on a
Oh, heavens,
wedding.
No. No. We're just...
Okay. In my mind, you're like doing all that.
No, that would be a small disaster, but...
that's what it would be if I did it too.
Yeah, no, but they were really great. I think that both of the families were really pleased with the turnout.
It's wonderful. Okay. So you had mentioned to me that one of your concerns is the breakdown of the American family. Where have you seen that and what do you do to stop that in your own home?
Something I've noticed, especially with, I think, people my age and slightly younger, is we're just so outwardly focused right now. We're just so overly concerned with political agenda and things going on in the world. And those are really, really valid concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of the problem is we really start to shift our focus from things that we can influence and we can have a major part in is people in our family, you know, people in our own home. What are we doing today to pray over the ones in our four walls? And how are we encouraging them? And how are we, you know, uplifting them and teaching our children and supporting our husbands? And that's kind of what I'm seeing. It's just, I just kind of feel like our focus is just really skewed. Like, if I feel like if we bring it back home to God and family,
mm-hmm.
things could change. I mean, that sounds kind of radical, but I don't know. I think we kind of got things backwards.
Well, no, I mean, your kids would be different and then the adults in the future would be different.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what do you do? How do you stop that for you?
I think for us is just to kind of rein it back in. I mean, one thing that my husband and I always try to do is just show support. Brandon's my husband. He calls it a united front, you know, kind of the thing where if one of us says something, then the other one backs them up. You know, we try to show a lot of love, you know, around our kids, to our kids, just to show them the stronghold in our marriage. I think that's just really, really important for them to see that, you know, their parents, they love each other, they support each other, they put God first, and we're there for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even if things aren't great, that's where we are. Where we land is home, and they need to see that.
Yes. What about with them? Anything specifically you do with your kids or don't do with your kids on purpose?
You mean to?
I don't know. Like what? Just say some really important words right now.
Okay.
Make it real impactful.
Gotcha. 10-4.
No.
No,
I don't know. I just think there's so many things that are drawing our family outside of the home, like even good things, you know? And then sometimes we have to just say no to things to prioritize family. And I didn't know.
Yeah, I definitely think that one thing that we try to do is just what we decide as a family is what we decide as a family. We don't let outward influences, you know, take control of our decision making. You know, what may be good for one family may not work for us. You know, one thing we would try to focus on is doing a lot of things outdoors, which clearly we live on a farm, so we have that opportunity.
Okay.
But, you know, getting out and, you know, seeing the world, but also spending time in our own town. I think that a lot of times when where you live is not always where you want to be, but I had a very wise friend. She's actually a foreign missionary, but one time she made the comment, you know, some people are called to go and some people are called to stay. And I think our family has definitely been called to stay. And so if we are called to be here, then I feel like we need to, as a family, show our love to our community and our small town and show our kids things that they can do in in town to be creative. I mean, people tend to complain about there's nothing to do here, or and I understand that to a certain extent, but I feel like let's create something to do here. Let's go out and explore the awesomeness of East Tennessee. And you know, my husband and I have traveled so many different places over the years, but I mean, the beauty of where we live is just unmatched. It's just a gorgeous place to live. There's nothing like it. And getting your children to appreciate and to love their culture and love where they're from, to me, is very important.
Yeah. So how do you reach out to your neighbors specifically, or what do you do in your town to create things to do?
I think one of the things that helps is, you know, really developing relationships with people here, because you may meet a friend at school drop off who then you'll see later on at the post office, whose mom works at the bank, whose grandma works at, you know, the hair salon. And that's kind of how things are here. That it's a generational place to live. And you'll eventually learn that you have all these connections that you didn't even know you had to begin with, which is so encouraging, because you start to realize, hey, you know, my grandmother babysat so-and-so who now has a child in my kids' pre-K class, kind of thing.
Okay.
It's just neat to have those connections and that bond in the community.
So what about people who move there that are not from there?
That's a great question.
Because I'm from a big city where you don't know anybody, and everybody's fine with that. And so what does that look like for a new person?
Well, actually, that's a great question, because I think the two types of people that live here are typically generational families like we are. My husband and I both are from several generations back, Campbell Countyans, but we also are a community where a lot of people come to retire. So, you know, you have people coming to church that aren't from here, or, you know, going out to the lake for the summer that, you know, are from up north. And it's a really good opportunity to welcome people in, you know, and to kind of encourage them and show them love. And we've had people come to our church before that have come and just stayed because they just love the people so much.
Yeah, that's great. I find that something simple that my kids and I start to do is that now it's fun when you start a tradition and the kids like it, then even if you maybe don't feel like doing it or forget about it, they're not going to let you forget about it if they like doing it. I make chocolate chip cookies for all the new people who move into the neighborhood, and the kids like it because then they get chocolate chip cookies, and then we get to, you know, load up in the car and go over. We're that lazy that when a neighbor moves in, we drive over. Oh, brother. But well, just the other day, everybody was mad at everybody. My husband was out of town, and so I said, that's it. And so we made this huge batch of chocolate chip cookies, and we had 8 or 9 plates of cookies. I made the kids write a note. You pick 3 neighbors, you pick 4 neighbors, and write notes to them. And then we dropped everything off. So that was when we were in the car. But if somebody just moves onto our street, we'll go ahead and make the walk down to their house. Anyway, that has become a good way for us to meet our neighbors. And everybody likes cookies, unless they're gluten-free or dairy-free or something like that. And then they're just like, really?
I love that so much. That's a great tradition.
It's fun. And if I don't remember, then they remember for me. So
yeah,
it's become good. So you were telling me that you sometimes are concerned that you're going to miss what God's trying to tell you. And I hear that a lot from people. So tell me why you might think that, and how do you combat that?
You know, I think one of my biggest struggles is I tend to overthink everything.
Okay.
Like my brain never shuts down. Okay. So, and I think a lot of people that write are that way, because you feel like you have so much to say. And then once you put it on paper, it's kind of either you're like, wow, I'm not crazy after all, or wow, I'm completely crazy.
Well, stop for a second. How long have you been writing? We didn't talk about that.
I've had my blog for 8 years. I've been writing for the local newspaper for 4 years. And then I've been writing for the Knoxville Moms blog for 2 years.
Okay. So as a writer, you can't turn your brain off.
Cannot ever turn it off. When you're trying to pray through things and seek the Lord's wisdom, I think sometimes instead of allowing the Lord to speak to me or being quiet and trying to listen, I'm still over here chatting away, you know, and just scared to death that I'm just going to miss one really important thing. But you know, there's a lot of grace that covers that, and the Lord created me and you, and He understands how we are. And I know deep down, and I know trusting the Word, that when God wants us to know something, by golly, He's going to let us know.
Oh yeah.
But you know, that's just something in the back of my mind where I'm always thinking, have I missed something here?
That waiting period where you're thinking, oh, I'm pretty sure I did the thing that I was supposed to do, but now it's kind of silent. So now what?
Right, exactly.
My husband he was laid off maybe like 6 months ago, right before the holidays. And then he got a job, and it was a great job, but he just sensed that he should continue looking, like maybe this wasn't that job, but he felt conflicted about it, because he had a good relationship with this new boss, but he just felt in his spirit that he should just keep keep looking. So he went ahead and he looked, he found a job, he got the job. But then he was all weekend going, oh my goodness, now I have to tell this boss that I just got this job and I'm going to go ahead and quit and I feel terrible. And he called on Monday morning and he said, well, I'm going to give my notice, like, sorry. And the boss was so relieved. He said, I found out Friday, I have to lay you off. So he was about to get laid off again, but he already had a job because he just, but in the meantime, it's just like, oh, did I do the right thing? I think I did the right thing, but now this feels so bad. And then I don't know. So yes.
Wow.
Thankfully he is so good at speaking to us because he made us. So he really knows how to talk to us. But that in the meantime, it kind of is in the middle of a trapeze when you kind of have that moment. Not like I'm a trapeze artist, but you understand the visual where you're just hanging in midair. You're not holding on to anything.
Wow. That's an awesome story.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. To live it was like a roller coaster for real.
Goodness, I bet.
So you told me also that sometimes you feel like you're just not doing things right and that would be a struggle that you have in parenting.
Yes. I think that kind of goes back to the overthinking part. I don't know. Maybe it's something that every mom deals with, but I think I constantly question at the end of the day, the kids are in bed, things have, the dust has settled. And mm-hmm. I mean, how you're laying in bed and you're like, okay, what are the 47 things I did not do today?
Yeah.
And what did I do wrong? What did I do right? One thing, it's just so funny how the Lord works, but actually this afternoon, my daughter, she's 8 and she takes dance and she's been in dance for years. I think she was 4. So,
okay.
Half of her life, whatever. But she made the comment, I was at dance and my teacher told me I'm doing really, really, really well, but I need to smile more when I'm dancing and not concentrate so much on the movements. She said, how can I do that? And she's a very, very bubbly, upbeat girl. But when she gets into dance mode, it's all business.
Oh, yeah.
And, I was like, okay, Eden, what is something that makes you happy? And when you're out there and you're dancing and you're moving around, think about that thing that makes you happy and it will automatically bring a smile to your face. Hmm. And she's like, well, you, mama, you make me happy.
That's so sweet.
I thought, oh, my goodness, because there's so many times I feel like that I'm failing as a mother that I regret so many times things I've said or my short temper or lack of patience. But it's kind of like with her dance, we're sometimes so over focused on the movements that we're forgetting the joy in it. And it's just one of those tiny little moments that she and I had just a few hours ago that the Lord was like, okay, Christy, you're just so over focused on the details instead of just really just breathing it in and enjoying the good stuff.
Yes.
And, praying for grace to cover the rest.
That makes me think of that blog post you are well known for, When Satan Steals Your Motherhood. Is that the right title?
Yes. Yeah.
So tell me more about that in case people haven't read it.
It's actually a couple of years old. I wrote it, I think, in 2014.
It's still going around.
It was just, yes, which is so strange. People will tag me in it or text me and say, hey, my friend in Ohio just shared this. I'm like, wow, that's, it was a couple of years ago and it was just a really, really tough time for me. I mean, just very rough time in motherhood. We were in the transition of moving. My husband was in the transition of going from one law enforcement position to a whole other agency. It was just a lot of major life changes at once. And I just really started to be very convicted about allowing sin to invade my home, about allowing, for my trust was not in the Lord. It was in myself, ultimately, in what I thought I could do as a parent.
Okay.
Instead of putting that trust where I know it belongs, I was taking that into my own hands. And it was a disaster. I mean, it's just... Right.
And it's natural, though, because it's such a big job and we understand the gravity of it. And so we want to take control of it because we know it's really important.
Definitely.
But that's the wrong thing to do.
It so is. And that's kind of where that post had come from. I'd had just several very rough days. And like we talked about earlier with my husband getting called out a lot, that's kind of the life of a law enforcement family. We had 3 kids in 4 years. My boys are 15 months apart.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was gone a lot during the early years because his job required a lot of his time. And, that's something, like I said, we were very acclimated to. But there are definitely times where it was just difficult. And it was difficult for him because he definitely wanted to be home. And things are a lot different now. But back then when that post was written, it was just a huge wake-up call for me where I felt like God was saying, you're allowing your sin to just drain the joy in this home. Like, I think we forget, with the American family situation, like a lot of times the mother sets the tone.
Absolutely. My husband says the mom is either like the sail or the anchor.
Absolutely, yes.
I hate that because I sometimes feel like being mad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. I just think about like my grandmother and like her generation and when Nancy Reagan passed away, not that I know Nancy Reagan, but just that generation of women were just so different and they really took pride in setting the tone for their home. Mm. That was something that they took very much pride in. And I think, you know, a lot of times that's an area we neglect as mothers and as women, that we have such an influence.
Absolutely.
You know, negative or positive, we have an influence. Yeah. And that's kind of where that post was derived from, was just my struggle with mothering and womanhood and all that in general. And, you know, I was just allowing a lot of stuff to come in that shouldn't have.
So what'd you do? How'd you stop it?
I think the first step was I was very open about it. You know, look, I, as a parent, sometimes feel very alone. As a mother, I feel like I don't always know what to do next. I feel like that, you know, dealing with sin, with raising my voice, you know, just being very, very honest. And I think that's one of the reasons why people like the post. I don't know that it's because it's just super well written, but I think it's just, you know, moms resonate with that type of feeling on the inside that they don't know how to explain.
Right.
And I think being honest with my husband's being like, I'm overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I'm really overwhelmed. And I actually wrote a post for Knoxville Moms Blog last week called My Husband Does More Than I Do. And it kind of chronicles that a little bit, where in the beginning of being a mother, I did a lot. And now I feel like he does a lot more sometimes than I do.
You mean around the house or what?
Yeah. Like he has really been just, things have kind of calmed down a lot in his profession lately for him, but it's kind of feast or famine. So who knows, tomorrow will be another day, but he's just been super dad. I mean, just helping me with the children, helping me with the housework, feeding the animals on the farm, just in general, which he's awesome anyway. But
is that a result of you telling him that you were overwhelmed, or how did you decrease the overwhelm?
I'm the kind of person that I'm sunshine and butterflies and rainbows all day long until I'm not.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, I'm the kind of person that lets it bottle up and bottle up and bottle up, and then I'm having the cry fest at midnight eating Oreos and milk and, you know, bringing it to confession time. But so, you know, he's always encouraged me to not let it get to that point where I just need to be honest and say, look, I need help. I need to run the house, or maybe a night out with my friends or whatever it is, or even, you know, calling up my parents and asking, you know, for them to help us so we can have a date night. I mean, just being proactive, because I can tend to be very reactive as a mom, but knowing things that help encourage and calm me and bring me back to a good state of mind. Mm-hmm. If I can plan those things in advance, so much more helpful than kind of just reacting to a situation.
Okay. How long has it taken you to kind of realize that about yourself and make it a habit?
I think a couple years ago, back around that same time, is really when I started to realize that my kids are little. They don't understand why I'm so frustrated. They don't understand how hard being a mom is, because I haven't fully grasped it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a parent for 8 years, so I'm an 8-year-old mom. So how does an 8-year-old act? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they don't always act with maturity. They don't always act with the best of intentions, but I'm growing.
I've never thought about the fact that we have only been a mom for that long. I always think, I am a grown-up. I need to act this certain way. But yeah, we're kind of not that far into this mom role.
Yeah, it's a whole new ball game. And I don't think I realized how hard it is or how hard it would be. Actually, I have a mentor from our church, and she and I eat lunch together every couple of weeks or so. And we ate lunch last week, and I said, Miss Wilma, why does no one tell anyone how hard it's going to be? Mm-hmm. Like, why did no one pull me to the side of my baby shower and say, Krista, you're going to have a hard time with this? Why does no one say that?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, ladies, if you're listening and you don't have children, it's going to be so awesome, but it's also going to be really hard.
Yeah.
So just buckle up.
Just know that it's going to bring out all the ugly that you may not even know is there. It's there.
Yeah, it's there. It's in the inside.
Oh, man. So how did you go about finding a mentor?
Well, something I've been praying about for a really long time was, I really just need a Titus 2 woman. I need an older woman to basically take me under her wing and tell me, Krista, you're doing great, or Krista, you really need to step it up.
Okay.
And I just started praying about it, and there was a particular woman in our church. Her name is Miss Wilma, and
which is perfect, by the way. That's adorable.
Well, I've known her for a while because her son is a really good friend of both my husband and myself, but his wife is the one that I mentioned earlier that said some are called to go and some are called to stay. I didn't realize that connection.
look at you making all your small town connections.
What? And so, so she goes to our church, and I just, one day, I've been praying a lot about it, and, you know, Agatha Christie says you do your best writing, your best thinking when you're doing the dishes. So I was doing the dishes. And I thought, you know what? I need to reach out to Miss Wilma and see if she will just pray for me and kind of mentor me as a mom and as a woman. And it was not 2 days later, we were at church, and she comes up to me, and And Miss Wilma is basically everything I want to be. I want, when I grow up, I want to be her. And another lady in our church named Miss Hodger, who was my second grade teacher. She's 91 now. Mm. So if I can be the perfect hybrid of those two ladies, then that's like hashtag life goals. So they're wonderful. But she came up to me just out of the blue and she was like, Christine, we need to start doing lunch together. We need to start gardening together. We need to start doing all
that. So you hadn't contacted her?
No, not at all. Nope. She just came up to me, like, and I put my chicken sandwich down. And I was like, Miss Wilma, I don't even understand. And I said, I've been praying about this for weeks about how to approach you. And, you know, she was like, well, because clearly it's God. I mean, she's very forward. She's very upfront. And she's just very, very bold about her faith. And I love that about her. You never question her. You know exactly where you stand. Mm. Every time I leave her, I feel refreshed and strengthened. And so I'd heard someone once say, everyone needs a Paul and everyone needs a Timothy. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being around Miss Wilma really has encouraged me to seek out younger women.
Okay.
You know, not that I'm super old, but.
And well, we're getting up there.
I know. We're climbing the charts. But, you know, just ladies that are in early stages of motherhood and knowing how I felt in that period of time. And just saying, you know what? One day your baby will sleep for the night. I know you don't believe me. I know you don't want to hear it, but I promise you one day, you know, or just offering to bring them a vanilla latte or, you know, sending them some encouraging mail, just something else to help their day be a little better. Because that's what Miss Wilma does for me. I think the Titus II model of women, you know, it encourages that we should all be in that mode of encouraging each other just to keep pressing on.
Yeah. I love that you had not even talked to her and God just sorted that out.
Craziness.
And God has done that for me in every stage of my life where I needed a friend or somebody like that. He's brought them and he's so faithful to do that. My husband had a mentor for years and years. And one day he would go over there in the morning and have breakfast and stay for lunch. And he wasn't married, you know, to me. He was a single guy. And so he had all day, I guess. And so they would just be hanging out all day. And I guess one day he asked his mentor, like, how do you get all these people that you mentor? Because they had mentored hundreds, him and his wife, throughout the years. And he said, we just pray for the phone to ring. And it just does. Wow. Like, they just are available and open their home. And my husband realized, wow, one day that was me. I remember calling and saying, hey, like, I was told I should get to know you guys. And they said, okay, well, we have, you know, we'll be done meeting with someone in about 30 minutes. Go ahead and come on over. And so they just had like a revolving door of people that they loved on. And it's because they prayed specifically for that. So I would encourage a mom who would like that to pray for it. And a mom who feels like they have that to offer to pray for it. And God is faithful. He wants those connections more than we do, really.
That's awesome. Yeah, gosh, I love that. We were just waiting for the phone. That's so cool. Oh, I love it.
So good. And, you know, I think also sometimes we feel like it needs to be very formal and, you know, every second Tuesday afternoon we'll meet at this particular bakery or whatever. I walked by a girl. Probably this is weird, but I walked by a girl at church the other day and she was like, oh, man, that was like the worst blowout of the diaper ever. She was changing her kid. We were in the bathroom. And I said, well, don't worry, sweetie. One day you won't even know when they poop. And I thought, well, you know, for me, that was encouraging. She might have been like, that's weird. But really, it's kind of like what you're saying. One day they'll sleep through the night. There is hope. I think that sometimes when we encourage, like you were mentioning, it can be very informal and very just, you know, passing in the Target when someone's having a meltdown or, yes, you know, whatever. We can be for each other and encourage each other without it being a big scheduled time commitment when we feel like we don't really have that much. Although a scheduled time commitment is amazing and super important. But if you're kind of trying to make it through your day, just a text or something could be really, really helpful for somebody.
Absolutely.
So if you were to run into a mom and she was just losing it, how would you encourage her?
Once I started to realize that I was not the only one that dealt with constant chaos, I felt so much more normal. Like, I really, really went through a period of time when my kids were really small. You know, two of them were diapers. My husband would get the pacifiers mixed up. Like, it was just a whole thing. And I've seen those moms in Target. And I remember one time putting on Instagram that we were in a Target bathroom and all my kids went to separate stalls and used the bathroom on their own. And I was just like, whoa, like, we have arrived. You know, we are here. You know, and just knowing that we're not alone, that all the crazy that we deal with, someone out there is dealing with it, I promise you. And I think that just knowing that and then reaching out to other moms, I think a lot of times we're afraid almost to approach other women. I think, I don't know, maybe part of we're just worried about judgment, or maybe we just don't have, really just don't have the energy to do it. But this one thing I'm so grateful for is I have a lot of really close friends here. And, you know, even if it's been a period of time where we haven't talked to one another, they're the kind of friends you can pick right back up from where you left off. And, you know, all of our children get along really well. But those friendships took work. I mean, they didn't just happen. And it took us putting the energy into, hey, let's go to the splash park, or hey, I'm having a really, really, really bad day. Do you care to give me a little bit of your time to where I can just vent on the phone without judgment? And I found if you seek those people, if you look for women that need encouragement and that you can give it, or vice versa, God's going to put those people in your path. They're there. You just have to really look for them.
They want to be with you just as much as you, you know, they want someone like you as much as you want someone like them.
Definitely.
So I have one more question for you. What is something that you can't stop talking about if you try? You just can't.
Okay. I asked my husband this question last night to make sure that I was being accurate.
Okay. Oh, yeah. What do you want me to shut up about, honey?
I know. I was like, what am I driving you crazy about right now? Okay. So I don't know if you have heard of this book coming out called Wild and Free.
I have.
It is so awesome. I cannot even deal with this book. It's so good.
Okay. Tell me about it. Okay. What do you love about it?
Haley Morgan, Jess Connolly. I signed up to be on the launch team, got a book in the mail, basically did a backflip, except I don't do backflips. And keep in mind, I had to walk to my mailbox because no one will hand me my mail.
My goodness. This is hard times right here.
I know, right? The struggle is real on the farm. but it is so good. It's just, I don't know. I normally don't even mark in books. I try to keep them really, you know, in really good condition in case I want to pass them on to other moms or resell them. This book I have marked up to pieces. It's so great.
What's your biggest takeaway from it so far?
I think the greatest thing, one of the things I love about it is it's co-written by both of them. So you have Jess, who's more, she's vocal. She's excited. They're both really for the Lord. But Haley's a little more reserved, and you can see yourself in both of the women, which is so great.
Oh, that's
but I think they just really, really pour the gospel into women in a very, very timely and relevant way. I think that it's just a great book for women in my generation. And, you know, I've really been able to see the gospel in a different lens, and it's just been super helpful. And just reading different parables that I've read, you know, however many times before in a different lot, it's been so encouraging.
Wonderful. I love that. I'll have to check that out. Well, thank you, Christy, for talking to me today. You have such an interesting life.
Thanks for having me on. This was so fun.
You're welcome. You have a good rest of your day on the farm.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, so many good things, right? I loved her reminder about the importance of setting tone in our house. Just at church this week, they were talking about how we are the chief mood officers in our home. And honestly, sometimes I feel like that's a really big burden and not something that I'm excited about as my job, because I don't always feel like being a big cheerleader. Sometimes I feel like walking around with my eyes half open like Garfield, just holding on to coffee and waiting for nap time. But I need to be a big girl, and I need to realize that it's not a burden. It's an honor and a privilege. And I'm the only one in the house that can do it, so I'm going to try to do it well. So that is my strategy to struggle well this week, is to just to make sure that the tone is light or that it's not heavier because I'm just being crabby. So what about you? What will your strategy to struggle well be this week? Maybe you also can look at ways in which you might be being an anchor instead of a sail regarding the mood in your house. Maybe you do Donut Saturday too and give yourself a little bit more time to sleep in while your kids happily read Knock Knock Jokes and eat donuts. Maybe, and I loved this, how her daughter's dance teacher said, just to smile more when she danced, not to focus so much on what exactly was happening that she wasn't enjoying it. Maybe our quote-unquote dance is emptying the dishes, or putting on the shoe, or finding the shoe, or getting the kids buckled in the car. Maybe we can just smile a little bit while we do that and realize it's honestly not the end of the world. It might not be super fun or our first choice, but again, it goes back to setting the tone, I think. Maybe you're kind of in that moment of in the trapeze thing like we talked about, where you're not holding on to the trapeze behind you and you haven't quite caught on the trapeze ahead of you, and you're just kind of in that waiting in the middle that can kind of feel uncomfortable. God's there. And they just said this morning at church that since God is good, and we know that He is, if what you have is not good, then that means that God's not done yet. I found that so encouraging. So maybe in the middle of your trapeze grabbing, when you're just kind of hanging there wondering what's next, you can just rest in the fact that God is good and he must not be done, because this is not good right now. But he's still there and he's at work. So you can find the good in what you do have, knowing that he's at work. Maybe you want a Miss Wilma. I mean, who doesn't? She sounds lovely. Pray for that if you want one. Maybe you can be a Miss Wilma to somebody who is a couple steps behind you and really could use the wisdom that you've gained. Maybe you need to check out the Wild and Free book or the blog post that Christy wrote, When Satan Steals Your Motherhood. All those things are going to be linked in the show notes for Christy's episode. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email at hello@momstrugglingwell.com. Have a great week of struggling well.